We are worshiping today, candles. I see somebody waving candles at me. Mother's Union is selling Advent candles for Advent wreath. Yep. So you'll be at the back. Diane will be at the back. Thank you, Diane. Yep. Great. Anything else? No? We're worshiping today using the maroon-colored Book of Common Prayer. You'll find that there in your seat. And we begin on page 67. Page 67, as you kneel, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. And together we say, Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And over on page 69, our Lord Jesus Christ said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Thank you. the world, free us from all that darkens and ensnares us, and bring us to eternal life and joy, through the power of Him who is alive and reigns with you, and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
A reading from the book of Samuel. Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My strength is exalted in my God. My mouth derides my enemies, because I rejoice in my victory. There is no holy one like the Lord, no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry are fat with spoil. The barren has borne 7, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low, he also exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap, to make them sit with princes, inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might does one prevail, the Lord. His adversaries shall be shattered. The Most High will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king, and exalt the power of his anointed." Here endeth the lesson.
So reading from the letter to the Hebrews. And every priest stands day after day at his service, offering again and again the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since then has been waiting until his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Here ends the second lesson.
According to St. Mark.
Glory be to thee,
Jesus came out of the temple. One of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. But this is but the beginning of the birth pangs." The Gospel of Christ.
Almighty God, free us from all that darkens and ensnares us. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. As Jesus and his disciples leave the temple for the last time, an unnamed disciple comments on the size of the temple stones. Jesus tells him something I bet he did not want to hear. Later, Peter, James, John, and Andrew would discuss further while sitting with Jesus on the Mount of Olives, a place well known for being one of the best views of this wonder of their time. A little research will quickly reveal that the size of the stones was only one aspect of the temple's grandeur. It was one of the most impressive sights in the world then, and would be now if it were still standing. Torn down twice since King Solomon first built it, the second rebuilding was undertaken by King Herod before Jesus' birth, not finished until after his crucifixion. That is to say, when Jesus and the four disciples discussed the temple, they were speaking of the beauty and destruction of a brand new structure. It was a staggeringly large and opulent edifice, unlikely to come down again very quickly. The temple had a perimeter circumference of 2/3 of a mile. Its marble walls stood 150 feet and were constructed of blocks weighing many tons. The outside of the building was decorated with 40-foot-high columns of white marble. There were 10 gates by which to enter the temple's outer courts, each covered in silver or gold plate. Two of the doors stood 45 feet in height, And one gate in particular, known as the Beautiful Gate, was cast in Corinthian bronze. The eastern front of the temple and part of the side walls were plated with gold. The gleaming white marble and stunning metalwork made the temple flash in the Middle Eastern sun and dominate the cityscape. The temple was both religiously and architecturally the center of Jewish life in Jerusalem. It was a place to which Jesus and his followers were often drawn. Standing in awe of the structure, imagine how distressing it would have to be for Jesus to so definitely predict that it would not last. It's no small wonder that Jewish authorities were threatened when they caught wind of his dire predictions. They would soon use his words as evidence against him. To Jewish leaders and followers of Jesus, the temple appeared indestructible. Its demolition, both physically and symbolically, unthinkable. How often do we do the same in our day? It's the easiest of tasks these days to find things that are bigger and better. All things are enlarging, growing in strength and capability beyond belief. We supersize our meals even when we know full well that eating more doesn't make us better. The more opulently we build, the less we have to support what we've built. The more we admire our magnificent accomplishments, the less we're able to look deeply at what still needs to be done. A world of instant communication and instant gratification may be misunderstood by most. The tiny wire that delivers the energy needed to make our lights shine, heat our homes, power our entertainment, and even our wireless communication is much thinner than most are willing to acknowledge. Maybe it's just that we don't want to think about what happens when it goes down. This passage is known as the Little Apocalypse of Mark. An apocalypse is an end. Apocalyptic writing in the first century was not uncommon. Jesus' thinking and the signs, he said, pointed to end times, were well-known indicators for the Jews of the coming of the Messiah. It was interesting that in conversation this past week, a fellow suggested to me that extreme separation between the political left and right, wars raging on with seemingly no end in sight, looming environmental catastrophes, growing unrest and dissatisfaction among everyday citizens. He said, all must be signs of the end. We are living in end times, he said. Perhaps that's true, I replied. But haven't we always? This passage stands not only as a warning about the end of time, it's also a warning about our own time and the ridiculous pride and self-confidence that easily dominates thinking in the Western world. While the surface view may be impressive, Deeper insight will always reveal that it's humility and service that will outlast and outshine marble and gold. Recruitment tactics are still underway to have others join the proper side. That's, of course, the side I'm on, right? During the presidency of Ronald Reagan, the Berlin Wall came down. Was the New World Order that emerged, for which Reagan recruited in the post-Cold War era, God's goal for humankind? It was touted as such. Consider the recruiting cry that rose up in the aftermath of 9/11, the cry that continues to resound, calling us to rid the world of terrorists regardless of the costs. The war on terror ever since is held up as the way to save civilization. Even if the world could be freed from terrorists, would the world that remained structured with gaping chasms between rich and poor be God's goal for creation? God is not calling us to join the correct side. It seems to me this is not an issue of politics. Almighty God, free us from all that darkens and ensnares us, and bring us to eternal light and joy, says the Collect today. One day when angels come with the Son of God to gather the elect, they won't show up with trucks, heavy equipment, and moving vans to carry away the world's great monuments, edifices, and treasures. They will come for the faithful. True treasures will have preceded them, for their treasures will always have been in heaven. Amen. In the words of the Nicene Creed on page 71, we'll stand and offer a confession of our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, through whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Amen. Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, forever and ever. All that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. All things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. As you kneel, let us pray for Christ's Holy Catholic Church. Let us pray for the Holy Church of God throughout the world, for all in many and various denominations of Christian faith, in the Anglican cycle of prayer. Today we're asked to pray especially for the Anglican Church of Southern Africa, Fabo, their Archbishop and Primate, and Archbishop of Cape Town. In the provincial cycle of prayer, the ecclesiastical province of Ontario, and their metropolitan and our acting primate, and the provincial council. Pray today for the offices of the Archbishop of Canterbury and the Anglican Communion Office, especially following the resignation this week. Let us pray for efforts being made toward a safe church and for those who are willing to sacrifice for the safety of others. Let us pray for those who are preparing for First Communion. Pray for the church. Let us pray for peace on earth and for the unity of all people, for all those who are ensnared or surrounded by darkness and fear because of war, terrorism, or natural disaster. Let us pray for our missionaries at home and abroad, remembering the Bishop McAllister School in Uganda and Canon Paul Jeffries, St. Hilda's School in Belize, Miss Jane, teachers and students, Kara and Nelson Mejia in Honduras. Pray for our Companion Diocese of Ho and Bishop Matthias Medaduas Badohu. And closer to home, let us pray for efforts to reach out for the Christmas Angels program, for Monday morning outreach, and also the upcoming UMB Pause Table project. Let us pray for the whole state of Christ's Church, militant here in earth. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostle hast taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all people, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to accept our alms and oblations and to receive these our prayers which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord. And grant that they that do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also to lead all nations in the way of righteousness and so to guide and direct their governors and rulers that thy people may enjoy the blessings of freedom and peace. And grant unto thy servant Charles, our king, and to all that are put in authority under him, that they may truly and impartially administer justice to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops, priests, and deacons, and especially to thy servant David, our bishop, that they may both by their life and doctrine set forth thy true and living word and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. Prosper, we pray thee, all those who proclaim the gospel of thy kingdom among the nations, and to all thy people give thy heavenly grace, and especially to this congregation here present, that with meek heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succor all them who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other are desired, those who we have listed this day, those who we may wish to add by name in silence or aloud. We remember before thee, O Lord, all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, remembering especially Philippa Sharp. And we bless thy holy name for all who in life and death have glorified thee, beseeching thee to give us grace that rejoicing in their fellowship, we may follow their good examples and with them be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honor and glory, world without end. Amen. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent you of your sins and are in love and charity with your neighbors and intend to lead the new life following the commandments of God and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort and make your humble confession to Almighty God. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and confess our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty. We do earnestly repent and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father, for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life to the honor and glory of thy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Thanksgiving and Consecration on page 78.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We give them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto our Lord God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty everlasting God, Creator and Preserver of all things. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name,
Thank you.
Blessing and glory and thanksgiving be unto thee, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to take our nature upon him and to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there by his one oblation of himself once offered a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memorial of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. Who, in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it in remembrance of me." Wherefore, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, we, thy humble servants, with all thy holy church, remembering the precious death of thy beloved Son, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming again in glory, do make before thee in this sacrament of the holy bread of eternal life and the cup of everlasting salvation the memorial which he hath commanded. And we entirely desire thy fatherly goodness mercifully to accept this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, most humbly beseeching thee to grant that by the merits and death of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and all thy whole church may obtain remission of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. And we pray that by the power of thy Holy Spirit, all we who are partakers of this holy communion may be fulfilled with thy grace and heavenly benediction. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, by whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory be unto thee, O Father Almighty, world without end. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Thank you. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Thank you.
peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.
Let us depart in peace. Alleluia. In the name of the Lord. Alleluia.
Thank you.